All right, we'll say good evening. Let's begin. So we're going to do a beautiful, beautiful piece tonight by Rabbi Nachman. Again, like much of the Rebbe's Torah, the truth is, we've come to see, but Rebbe's Torah for a little while now, that the beauty of Rabbi Nachman's Torah is not really in its complexity, but it's often expressed in its simplicity. So, the Rebbe is commenting on the Pasuk. It's Pasuk Chof Hei. Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Chof Hei. I asterisked it on top. Vayitzi HaRishon Admoni Kulo Kadere Sevek Rushma Isov. Ruth Kamina gives birth. First child comes out, and he's Admoni. What does Admoni mean? So on a basic level, ruddy complexion. He has a ruddy complexion. Vayikru Shmo Isov. And they went ahead and they called him Esav. Okay, so much to speak about over here, but the Rebbe chooses to focus on one particular nekuda. Go down to paragraph 8. Vayitzei Rishon Admoni. Okay, so first of all, you have to understand something. Why does the Torah have to tell me this piece of information that Esav is Admoni, that he has ruddy complexion? So already again, we begin to see in Rashi. Rashi says, Admoni simenhu sheishofech domim. According to Medrash Bereishis Rabba, this was a simen, this was a sign that Esav was going to shed blood. He's born with a reddish complexion, symbolic of the fact, foreshadowing the fact that he is going to go ahead and shed blood. Okay, so that's the importance of it. Already from birth, again, there were indications, there were signs that, unfortunately, this young man was not going to follow the proper derech. So says the Rebbe, paragraph A. Valkin, Hoya David Admoni, Yimefe'inayim. Now, amazingly enough, if you notice again, Esav is not the only person who is described as Admoni. He's not the only person who's described ultimately again as having a ruddy complexion. Remember, who else is described that way? None other than David HaMelech. King David is described ultimately again as Admoni, ruddy complexion, im yefeh einayim, with beautiful eyes. Zeh bichinas atzmos tekedusha. So the Rebbe says something amazing. The notion of being born with the ruddy complexion, with the redness, represents what the Rebbe calls an azus tekedusha. The reddish complexion, the reddish hue, the admumius, right? The ruddy complexion represents an intensity, represents a vitality, represents a vibrancy. So it says the Rebbe something amazing. David HaMelech ultimately is what? Is born with this ruddy complexion. What does it symbolize? Remember these words are both saying, Azos Dikdusha. You know what Azos Dikdusha means? What does Azos mean? How would you translate the word Azos? Almost as like you know, if sometimes, I remember, like, if I misbehaved when I was growing up, my parents would call me an Azus Panim. Right? You know, like I'm a chutzav. You know, I'm a chutzav. Oz literally means a strength. But Azus sometimes means, almost means like a brazen strength. So Azus Dikdusha means someone who ultimately, again, is willing to do whatever he has to do in order to attain a level of Kedusha. There's an Azos there. There's a strength, and there's a certain amount of brazenness. So what the Rebbe says over here is that the ruddy complexion represents a brazenness, that this type of person is going to do whatever they have to do to actualize their life objectives and goals. He goes on, Ki hayalochi mecham Hashem. Now, where do we see this in David HaMelech? We see this in David HaMelech, you know, because David HaMelech waged wars. David HaMelech was afraid of no one. Remember again, David's first major battle was against who?
Against Goliath,
which was a battle that made absolutely no sense. David was a shepherd. He was not a trained warrior. He has absolutely no battle experience. And somehow, when Goliath, the most valiant of the Philistine warriors, puts forward a challenge, throws down the gauntlet, and says, no, let's not have armies go out to each other. Send out your best warrior. No one wants to go. Who decides to go? David HaMelech. They dress him up in the king's armor. No battle experience. What does he bring to the battle? What does he bring? He brings his slingshot, right? And five polished, smoothed rocks from the riverbed. This is what he comes with. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Right? It's like a suicide. What's the matter with you? And by the way, that's everyone says David HaMelech. So what is the matter with you? It almost seems like ridiculous. Like you're crazy. That's Azus Dikdusha. David HaMelech said, this guy is taunting Klal Yisrael. This individual is maligning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This cannot happen. So no one else is rising to the occasion. I will take care of the problem. David HaMelech says, no one else is stepping up. I will take care of the problem. That's called Azus Dikdusha, a certain brazenness, a certain strength that is there in the service of HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Pinchas had that too.
Pinchas, see, it's interesting because when we talk about Pinchas, often we use the word kanoi or kanos, zealotry. So it could, I have to think about this more. I was thinking about this actually as I was on the way over here. Like, is kanos, is zealotry the same thing as azus tikdusha? I don't know. I don't know. Something, right, this is your homework. Okay, you'll get back to us by next week. But it could be. It could be that it emanates from the same source. But this is an incredible idea. Meaning, this kiddusha, these people who are holy, azaz tikdusha means I almost like have a brazenness, a strength. I'm going to stand up for what's right, do what's right. How is it going to work out? David HaMelech, what possible chance do you have against Goliath? Statistically, 1 in a million. But that doesn't matter. You don't look at odds when you have to do what's right. When you have to stand up for what's right, you do what has to be done, you'll figure out the consequences later on. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, Ki ikar malchus dikdusha, hu ayidi azus dikdusha, bebechinas Hashem ba'oscha yismach melech. So this was the azus, this was the ruddiness of King David. His admumius, right? His admoni, his ruddy complexion, symbolized his vitality, symbolized his azos, symbolized his incredible intensity to go ahead and do what was right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now says the Rebbe something amazing. Paragraph B. Va'al kein ta'a Yitzchak be'isav shiyatza admoni. So the Rebbe says, this is why Yitzchak was fooled by Esav. Right? How is it that a Yitzchak could be fooled by an Esav? Right? How could that be? How could that be? So the Rebbe says, I'll tell you how. Sheyatza Admoni. Because when Yitzchak saw Esav's ruddiness, when Yitzchak saw Esav's red complexion, what did he see? He saw an azus. He saw an intensity. He saw almost like a brazenness. So Yitzchak Avinu figured that what was his eldest son going to use this admoni, brazen, almost like stiff-necked character for? Kiddusha. He assumed he was going to use it for Kiddusha. Kisavar, shetokav his gabrus hadamim shebo, hu bechinas azaz dikdusha, machmas shahayit sayid befiv. So remember again, Yitzchak sees his eldest son, and he sees him ultimately again that he's admoni, he's ruddy complexion. The ruddiness represents a vitality, the ruddiness represents an intensity, the ruddiness represents almost like a brazenness. See, he assumes that his son is going to use this midah in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That by definition is his natural expectation. Compound that by the fact that what? Esav, at least according to Rashi, Esav actively fooled his father. Remember again, Rashi HaKadosh points out, Kitzayid Befiv, he hunted his father with his mouth. Remember again, Esav would ask all kinds of kashas, all kinds of shilas. Right? So Yitzchak thought, oh, what a masmid, what a tzaddik, he's so worried about halacha. Meanwhile, he was just literally pulling the wool over his father's eyes. Bechinos, Shayam Merames, Aviv Heich Ma'asunes, Atav in paragraph C, Kiluhu Tzaddik. Alkein, Savi Yitzchak, Shagam Ha'admimus, Shebo, Shemarushu Shofef Domim, Hu Bechinos Azos Dikdusha, Sherotze Lehiskaber Neget Ha'ovrim Aldas. So therefore again, take the complexion, coupled with the questions that Esau was always asking, and Yitzchak assumes that his son is going to be brazenly holy. That his son is going to be the kind of man who is willing to stand up for that which is right, who is willing to stand up for the ideals of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is willing to stand up for the ideals of holiness and spirituality, no matter what the cost. That's the admoni. That's what Yitzchak, and that's why Yitzchak ultimately, again, never even for a moment thinks that his son is anything less than Halig. He doesn't think that he's anything less than holy for a moment.
The two wives.
People make mistakes. People make mistakes, you know. So, you know, look, no one's perfect. Even David HaMelech, you know, has his moments. Everyone has. Remember, again, possessing spiritual brazenness doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're intense. And you plug that intensity into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, skip down a little bit. He says, Ki kvar mevur ba'torah chosam b'so chosam simin chav beis. Shetzrichim lehispala, last three lines on the right hand paragraph. Shetzrichim lehispala la Hashem yizbarach, sheyiske lahavchin bein azus dikdusha sha'al yado binyan Yerushalayim ubein azus disitra achra shubichinas az panim legehenim. So this is amazing, says the Rebbe. There are different forms of azus. There are different forms of brazenness. You know, like there are some people that are always fighting for a cause. What's the only problem?
Wrong cause.
It's always the wrong cause. It's always the wrong cause. Because the truth is, it's not really about the cause. They just like to fight. Right? They just have difficult personalities so that they're just always wrapped up in machlokes. So we'll say azos, brazenness, could either be what the Rebbe calls azos dikdusha or azos de sitra achra. Sitra achra means the negative forces. Azus, I will say, azus is a character trait. It's a brazenness, an intensity. So like every other character, I will say, there are no good character traits or bad character traits, so to speak. There are just traits. And the nature of those traits is fundamentally dependent on how you channel them and how you use them. The problem is that sometimes, the ability to discern between azos dikdusha versus azos de sitra achra becomes a little bit different. You know, sometimes people get all worked up and become brazen over things that look spiritual, it looks holy, but it's not. But it's not. And they'll swear up and down that it's holy. It's a holy war. I'm waging this for God. You know, no, they're not. You're waging this for you. You're waging this because you're angry. You're waging this because you're looking to pick a fight. This is not the azus. This is not the brazenness for the Dvar Hashem. This is the brazenness. This is the azus. This is the negative vitality because you're just in a bad place in life. But sometimes it's hard to be able to untangle and it's hard to be able to discern between the two. The Rebbe posits that was the problem with Yitzchok. Look at paragraph D, three lines down. Va'al kein, afilu tzadikim gedolim, yicholim litos baza, kimo sheta Yitzchok be'esav. And I will say, sometimes, again, it's so difficult to tell the difference between Azus dikdusha and Azus de sitra achra. And you see, v'harayo, even great people get mixed up. Right? Even great people sometimes can't tell the difference between what is a helig azus versus which is a negative azus. When is a person channeling their brazenness and intensity for some higher calling versus when am I just channeling all of that energy into something negative and unholy? And sometimes it's hard to be able to see the difference between the two. Sometimes it's not clear. The Raya, Yitzchak. Yitzchak sees his oldest son being born as an Admoni. He assumes Admoni means, right, the ruddy complexion, vitality, brazenness. This is going to be a guy who gets things done. This is going to be a guy who stands up. Couple that with the fact that Esav is always asking his father all these different theological, philosophical, halachic questions. Yitzchak says, wow, my son is really holy. Meanwhile, he's wrong. He's wrong. He's profoundly wrong. Not only is he a little bit, you know, we'll say a little bit wrong, this is not like a shtickle wrong. Like this is, the whole thing is wrong. The whole conception of his son is wrong. His whole conception, his understanding of his familial framework is wrong. Because even great people sometimes get mixed up between what's Azus Tikdusha and what's Azus Desich Achra. We'll say, so I'll tell you something, you know what this comes up very often? A lot of times, so like, there are some people who need to make a statement about everything, right? They need to take a stand on everything, make a comment on everything. So, okay, you can look at that and you can say, all right, you know, it's. I always admire very principled people. But I will say, sometimes if you're an azus, if you have that intensity and that brazenness on every single thing that you do, sometimes that might be a bit flawed. But it's hard to tell because sometimes, again, people say things and people do things and it looks like it's for holy purposes, but it's only once you peel back the layers that you begin to see that's not an azus tikdusha. That's an azus de sitra achra. And I will say for ourselves, knowing when to use the midah of Anzus and when not to use it. You will say, it's such a fundamental issue in general. Like, when do you go to war and when do you just lay down your arms? You know, what are the battles that are worth fighting? What are the things that are worth taking a stand for? What are the things that are worth literally butting heads about? What are the things where you have to exercise your Azus? Because if you're always exercising Azus, then what? That's not Azus Tikdusha. That's Azus the Sitra Achra. But yet there are times in life when you have to exercise your Azus. There are times in life where you have to say, no, this is not right. This is how things have to be done. This is the Dvar Hashem. How to know when to do and which is which? Sometimes very difficult. So the Rebbe goes on. He says as follows. V'chein lehefech. Sometimes the opposite is true as well. So here the Rebbe says, listen to this. So Yitzchak Avinu thinks that the Azus of Esav is the Azus de Kedusha. But in reality, it was the Azus de Sitra Achra. Rabbi said, we see the reverse is true as well. V'chin lehefech, ala al das Shmuel Hanavi, paragraph E. Lit os bedavid, shahaya admoni, ulai hu bechinas Azus de Sitra Achra. Rabbi said, this is amazing. Shmuel Hanavi has the exact opposite experience with David. When Shmuel sees that David is an Admoni, that he has ruddy complexion, you know what Shmuel's reaction is? This is not the guy. This is not the future king of the Jewish people. I don't trust the Admonis, right? I don't trust them. There's too much emotional and spiritual volatility there. I don't think, so Shmuel, when he sees David, interestingly enough, for whatever the reason, he assumes that it is Azos de Sitra Achra, not Azos de Kedusha. It's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. Nisar va'amar af zesh shofech damim ke'isav. Kevan shara, look what he says. Kevan imagines parashas sol is parashas sol. Kevan shara Shmuel as David Admoni. When Shmuel saw that David was an Admoni, nisyari va'amar, he became afraid and he said, af zesh shofech damim ke'isav. Shmuel said about David, Ribbono shel Olam, please don't pick this kid. Don't pick this guy. He's an Admoni. He's going to be a spiller of blood like he said. I won't say, was David HaMelech a spiller of blood? Oh, absolutely. Well, say, I always mention this whenever I speak about David HaMelech. You know, whenever you see the artwork around with David HaMelech, what is he always holding? A harp. I honestly think, I have no idea if David HaMelech played the harp or not, but even if he did, if you want a more accurate historical account, drum with a sword. Because David HaMelech was a career warrior. He wasn't a musician. He sang. He composed beautiful Shira. He composed beautiful Shira in the midst of battle, in the aftermath of battle, in the lulls of battle when he was younger and he was a shepherd. But David HaMelech was a warrior. David HaMelech's hands were filled with blood. In fact, again, one of the reasons why David HaMelech was not permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash was because he spent his life killing people. Now granted, it was warranted. It was necessary. It was Melchemes Mitzvah. He did what he had to do as a good soldier of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he was a warrior. Shmuel HaNavi sees, this guy's going to shed blood. He's going to be like an Esav. So amazingly enough, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Yefeh Einayim. Now, Bosanu, this is amazing. And here we're going to get into the thrust of what the Rebbe is going to say. He says, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu calms Shmuel down by telling him, no. It's true that he's an Admoni, but he has another characteristic. What does he have? Yefei Einayim. David HaMelech has beautiful eyes. David HaMelech has beautiful eyes, which by the way, Bosa, is fascinating in and of itself, because aside from this particular description of David HaMelech, eyes are always used in Tanakh as a description of feminine beauty. No man in Tanakh is ever described by his eyes except for David HaMelech. So we're going to talk about this in just a moment. So what's amazing over here is Shmuel HaNavi says this guy can't be the king. He's an Admoni. He's going to be a shedder of blood. It's just a bad idea. Shmuel HaNavi says, calm down. He has beautiful eyes. Let's finish up, then we'll come back. Paragraph F. Esav midas atzmahu horeg. Esav kills of his own volition. Aval zeh. But this one, David, he kills at my instruction. Ad kan lashon ha'ayin sham. Haynu k'niska le'el. Ki kasha lahavchin bin azos de sitra achra. Shu sitch mi sitra de Esav. U bin azos tikdusha. Shu bechinas malchus David Mashiach. So we'll say, isn't this amazing? That the father of the messianic line and the father of the anti-Messiah, which is Esav, right? Esav is our arch nemesis throughout. We think it's Yishmael because today we have so much conflict with Yishmael. But that's not really how Chazal see it. Chazal see it is the arch nemesis of Klal Yisrael is Esav. Is Esav. This is the Yisrael Tetzu Abban and Bekirba. There's a constant struggle between Yaakov and Esav. And Abbas, do you want to hear the amazing part? The amazing part is both Yaakov and Esav contain, or I should say, both Yaakov and Esav possess the same exact midah. The midah of Admoni. The midah of brazenness. The midah of intensity. The midah of vitality. So wherein lies the difference between Esav and Yaakov? How you use your Admoni. How you use your Azus. The father of the Messianic line was an Admoni also, but he used ultimately again, he created an Azus Dikdusha, an Azus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He spilled blood, he acted with intensity, he took no prisoners, he stood up for that which was right, but ultimately what? But ultimately he went ahead and he did so because it was the Ratzon Hashem. But I both say again, Esav, same exact midah, Admoni. But it wasn't Admoni, it wasn't an Azos de Kedusha, it was an Azos de Sitra Achra. So we'll say, and the Rebbe is pointing out, sometimes it's so hard to see the difference. You see, Yitzchak thinks the Ace of the Admoni is good, Azos de Kedusha, but it's Azos de Sitra Achra. Shmuel thinks that the Azos of David is a Azos de Sitra Achra, but it turns out that King David, the father of the Messianic line, is what? Is an Azos de Kedusha. Because sometimes it's hard to tell. Is it an intensity? Is it a vitality? Is it a brazenness of Kedusha? Or is it just something that's much more self-serving and base? Yitzchak got confused. Shmuel got confused because it's hard. Shabbos said, where do we see the difference? Meaning, how do you see the difference? See, we have two models. We have an Esav and we have a David. Esav is Azos de Sitra Achra, a brazenness used for all the wrong things, and David is an Azos de Kedusha, a vitality, a brazenness used for incredible intensity of spirituality. So let's remember again, it all comes down to the Yefeh Einayim, to the beautiful eyes. See, Rabbi saying, the nature and how you use your Azos in life all depends upon how you look at life. You see, when Esav comes along, and Esav comes home, v'hayef min asada, and what happens? He sees Yaakov cooking the lentils, and what does he say to Yaakov? Halitini na min adom adom azah, do me a favor, I'm going to open my mouth, just pour it down my throat, just mamish, like an animal, just pour it down my throat. And what does Yaakov even say? No problem, michra li kayom, as Bechoros Chali. Sell me your birthright. And what does Esav say? Fine. I could care less about this. Why are I both saying? Because the Admoni for Sitra Achra, the Azus the Sitra Achra, the brazenness of Osei that is unholy, only cares about one thing, and that is the here and now and himself. One and the same. Only cares about what I need, what my pleasures are, what my basic needs are, now. And I will do anything I have to do to satisfy myself now. And if you get in the way of my satisfaction, I will simply mow you down. I'll mow you down. That's why, again, later on in the parasha, when Esav is not happy with what Yaakov did, you know, everybody has the big shilas on Yaakov. How did Yaakov steal the brachos? By the way, newsflash, he didn't steal anything. He was taking that which was really his. The bigger kasha is on Esav. How could Esav try to claim a birthright that he stole, that he sold to his brother? That's the kasha. That's the kasha. And so when Yaakov takes what's rightfully his, what is Esav? What's Esav's plan? What's Esav's plan? What is he going to do to his brother? I'm going to kill him. Because we'll say that's Sitra D'Achra. That's Azus the Sitra Achra. Azus Sitra Achra means it's about me. Everything is about me. And it's about my needs. And it's about my wants. And whatever makes me happy, whatever makes me complete, that's what has to happen now. And if you get in my way, I will take you down. I will get rid of you. Because ultimately, again, nothing stands in my way. So when Esav wants lentils, nothing stands in his way. When Esav wants his birthright, nothing stands in his way. Ah, you sold it? I don't care. It's not about what I sold. It's about what I want. And what about David HaMelech, Rebbe saying? David HaMelech also has Azus, but his Azus is coupled with Yefeh Einayim. Bava said, what is Yifei Naim? So I don't know, maybe David HaMelech had beautiful eyes. It's possible. Right? Bava said, Yifei Naim also means a beautiful outlook on the world. How do you look at life? How did David HaMelech look at life? He saw life through the prism that he was an Eved Hashem. I am here in this world to serve my Creator. I am here in this world to accomplish great things as the ambassador of the Ribono Shel Olam. So when he sees the kavod of God being compromised by Goliath, there's only one thing to do, which is answer the challenge, answer the call, step up to the plate. And every single time David HaMelech faces a challenge, he always has the Efe'inayim. What do I need to do for my God? What do I need to do for my self-actualization? What do I need to do to become the ambassador of the Ribono Shel Olam? And he brings his Azos to bear. So Moshe, what it comes down to is as follows. What do you use your life brazenness? What do you use your ruddiness? What do you use your vitality for? If you're an Esav, then that ruddiness, that admonios, that vitality, that brazenness, it's used for me and me alone, to take care of me. But if that's called Azos de Sitra Achra. But if you're a David HaMelech, then you use your Azos to accomplish great things in this world. You use your Azos to ultimately be the ambassador of God. You use your Azos to make this world a better place. You use this your Azos ultimately, again, to be able to self-actualize. You use your Azos to discover your potential. You use your Azos to rise to the occasion and make a difference. The challenge is being able to see the difference between the two. Yitzchak got confused at times. Shmuel got confused at times. But Rabbi said, we learn from this parasha that each of us possesses this Azos as well, even if you don't have an actual physical ruddy complexion. It's a media that each of us have. We should be zocheh mi'aretz Hashem to find our Azos dekidusha, to find our brazenness, our vitality, and our eagerness, and find the koach to utilize it in the correct way.
Thanks.
Sure.